A couple of points before I begin my prepared commentary today. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats took advantage of the COVID-19 scare to load up an incredible amount of pork into the first stimulus bill, which totaled more than $2 trillion borrowed dollars, which had nothing to do with fighting the virus itself. Now they are back at work, crafting a second round of stimulus borrowing, which will dwarf the first round. For years, we have known that liberal Democrats in charge of major American cities like New York and Chicago have been spending money they did not have and stacking up debt upon debt. In this next stimulus bill that Pelosi is drafting, Democrats want more trillions to bail out those cities from debts of mismanagement in the past. It is yet another power grab, and it has nothing to do with battling COVID-19. Why should taxpayers in North Carolina, Montana, or Nebraska have to go into debt to bail out Democrat-ravaged cities? COVID-19 did not cause the enormous debt in New York, Chicago, Detroit, or any other big city where Democrats have bought votes for decades and simply watched the unsupportable debt add up. Make no mistake, Pelosi and her Democrat sheep will try to ram this new assault on taxpayers through. If Republicans don't stop her in the Senate, our country will have added another $4 to $5 trillion to the national debt. And there is no way that amount of debt, added to the more than $23 trillion of debt we had before COVID-19's pandemic, can be sustained without enormous tax increases. That has never mattered to Democrats in the past, and it doesn't seem to matter now. But this debt does not go away, and the interest on the debt alone is more than we can sustain. Let your members of Congress know that you support funding the battle against COVID-19, but not one more cent should be spent on funding for things like Planned Parenthood, the Kennedy Center, National Public Radio, Raises for Congress, or other projects on Pelosi's wish list. Buying groceries for our families is essential, but we are smart enough to know that spending on things that are not essential is foolhardy. Pelosi and her herd of sheep have not learned that lesson. When Christine Blasey Ford came forward to claim that Judge Brett Kavanaugh had committed sexual assault against her decades ago when both were in high school, Democrats and the fake news media immediately circled the wagons around her and began opening fire against Kavanaugh, calling for him to step down from the Supreme Court nomination that President Trump had bestowed upon him. Democrats made it clear that when a woman comes forward with such a claim, they must be believed. Not that they must be heard, but they must be believed. Ms. Ford had no proof to offer. She could not say which party it happened at, when it happened, how she got to the party, how she got home, only that she was drinking and underage. People who she said were at the party denied having been there. But that was enough evidence, no evidence at all, for Democrats and their media attack dogs to demand that Ford be believed and that Judge Kavanaugh and his family be destroyed. Ford never presented any evidence to prove her claim. Democrats and the media laid the burden of proof on the back of Judge Kavanaugh to prove he did not assault Ms. Ford. Today, those same Democrats have circled their wagons around Joe Biden and refused to believe Tara Reid, a woman who has accused Biden of sexually assaulting her in a Capitol Hill hallway. She does offer evidence. In the world of socialist Democrats, it is suddenly not all women who must be believed, just those who accuse Republicans. The rank hypocrisy is appalling. How long would you wait before answering a charge of sexual assault against you? Me? Less than half an hour. Joe Biden? 5 long weeks. Equal justice demands that Joe Biden be held to the same standard as Judge Kavanaugh. Tara Reid should be believed until Joe Biden can prove that he did not assault her. That is the standard that Democrats established in the Kavanaugh case, and it should apply to Biden. Biden refuses to allow the University of Delaware to hand over his personal papers from his time in Congress. It should come as no surprise if Biden is forced to release those papers, and that they have already been combed through and deleted. It's the Democrat way. I give credit today in my research to Psychology Today, Amanda Alvarez of Conservative Daily News, and Andy Burgess of Delmarva Now, and the Backwoods Conservative for their valuable contribution to my commentary. It is far too easy to get depressed as we see the country we have known shifting values. Ask yourself, what is happening to our American values? You remember those values, don't you? You know, those moral thoughts and behaviors we used to hold dear, like decency, civility, honesty, and respect, as well as caring, optimism, empathy, and tolerance. This country was a beacon of idealism and values to people the world over. Its foundational credos, the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence, were revered at home and emulated abroad. American children were taught their significance, and education and knowledge were cornerstones of our achievement. A sense of being a part of the American community enhanced our citizens. The Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, symbolizing lofty ideals and values, welcomed millions of immigrants to our shores. The newcomers, all our ancestors, worked hard. They contributed to this country, and they and their children thrived, sharing the American dream. The values that I've just cited represented the best of humanity and fostered a culture of benevolence, creativity, and opportunity. But that was then, and this is now. This is now refers to the current alt values prevalent today, which are contrary to those best of humanity values. These words and actions convey anger, rudeness, hate, greed, lying, selfishness, intolerance, and callousness. These alt credos and codes of behavior are the trademarks of the incivility we witness on a daily basis, often expresses with rancor and rage their feelings. They have become commonplace on television, the social media, and in everyday life. Of even more concern is that these new moral standards serve as models of behavior for our impressionable children and youth. There is no doubt that we live in a dangerous world, both at home and abroad, and we must certainly be vigilant and protect ourselves. But in the all-encompassing service of strengthening our forces and intelligence agencies, we could lose sight of our basic human values and diminish the essence of what made this country so exceptional. Citizens in a democracy are encouraged to either criticize or support political parties and policies. But in the current alt-values climate, political conflict has become filled with lies, insults, and invective. The discordant words of behavior of political leaders can be toxic to the core values we have cherished. If the new norm consists of demeaning and disrespectful utterances and bullying and belligerent behaviors, we invite the decline and degradation of our nation's better values and our quality of life. Demagoguery engenders anger, hatred, and fear, and these emotional viruses can easily spread among a vulnerable community, wreaking havoc with people's thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. When we demonstrate respect, tolerance, and caring, we encourage the same benevolent behaviors in return. By the same token, when we convey incivility and brutishness, we provoke antagonistic responses in others. If we continue our descent into callousness, selfishness, and hostility, we negatively impact and harm the quality of our lives. Words of rage and hate can easily be forerunners of violence. We have crucial decisions to make about our core values, manifested by our attitudes and behaviors. Our future, as a civil and democratic republic, and as a progressive society, is at stake. Just as we are using our formidable intellect and creativity to reduce our carbon footprint, we can similarly mobilize our resources to improve our emotional footprint, or how we treat and affect each other. When we express the values most true to our best human instincts, we create a positive emotional footprint, and we improve the quality of life for all of us. We do have a choice. To paraphrase the Bible, what does a man gain to win the world but lose his soul? I remember as a small boy watching a black and white episode of Tarzan, where a man was greedy for gold, and he knew that there were tons of gold dust in the room just above him. He feverishly worked to get that gold dust and eventually gained access to it, only to have it pour down upon him and suffocate him to death. He had gotten what he desired most, riches beyond measure, but in so doing, he lost his life and his soul. That memory has stayed with me for more than 7 decades. While several factors have contributed to our country's chaotic state, one that stands out above the rest is our culture losing its moral and ethical roots. According to a Gallup poll, 49% of Americans, almost half, say the state of moral values in the United States is poor. Meanwhile, 37% of U.S. adults say moral values are only fair. Only 14% say they're good. What is moral and what is not is clearly defined, but sadly, countless Americans these days are choosing to redefine the meaning of moral in order to justify their self-indulgent, hedonistic behaviors and lifestyles. As our society becomes one of rot behaviors and principles of Americans become rotten as well, and as the moral compass of Americans continues to decay, so decays the popular culture as well as America's political system. The latter is clearly exemplified by newly elected members of Congress who are socialist Democrats, people like Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib, to name just two. These anti-Americans are injecting poison into our country and pushing for the same socialist policies that destroyed Venezuela. Much of the moral decay can be directly attributed to our country increasingly opposing God over the years in favor of secular humanism. It is at this point that the agnostics, atheists, and others need to tune out. But as we continue to reject God and allow Him to be pushed out of our country and out of our lives, we are swinging our doors wide open and welcoming corruption, hatred, and violence into our country with open arms. While I have always maintained my belief in God, I wasted many years in silence instead of giving testimony to my beliefs. Those days are over. I have led a blessed life, and I will not arrogantly believe that it was in spite of God. In Edward Gibbon's final volume of the History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, three of the five major causes he identified behind that fall of one of history's greatest empires that today America clearly identifies with are the breakdown of the family, an insatiable craving for pleasure, and the decay of religion. We have digressed into a nation as wicked, if not more wicked, than Sodom and Gomorrah, as clearly evidenced by the increased acceptance of sexual immorality and the gruesome abortion laws that we tolerate. Our country's rapid descent into apostasy is undoubtedly leading our country into a calamitous future, and it is imperative that Americans take heed of the words of wisdom of two of our former presidents. George Washington stated this in his famous farewell address: "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us caution, indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason, and experience, both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." The United States is steering off course into that broad road leading to destruction, comparable to the one ancient Rome traveled upon that led to their demise. What the United States is in deliberate need of, desperate need, is a united spiritual revival. Otherwise, as Ronald Reagan forewarned us, quote, "Without God, there is no virtue, because there's no prompting of the conscience, and without God will not and cannot endure." If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under, end quote. Today, manners matter to everyone except for Democrats, especially those in Hollywood. Has anyone else observed liberals no longer have manners and are seemingly proud of it? Instead, Democrats have sunken to the depth of mimicking wild animals, out of control, vicious, disruptive, loud-mouthed, and mean-spirited. Hatred appears to be all that rules their lives today. We know that public education has dumbed down everyone educationally, but did they also eradicate manners? Is being polite a target of the Democrats' identity hate politics and needs to be removed from society? How can anyone consider politeness is not a virtue to protect and honor? Some years ago, liberal feminists began teaching us to avoid courtesies long provided and supported by males. Radical feminists told women they must resist having doors opened for them, resist serving coffee or taking care of children and supporting their families by staying at home. Then they went on the warpath about equal opportunity in the workforce. Women must receive equal pay for equal work and not be shielded by men thinking, they said, even when it better serves females. Continuing, they demanded that women must also serve in the military, at any job, no exception, even in combat positions. Democrats went so far as to order Hollywood accomplices to make a movie proving a female actor could be successful as a SEAL team member. Never mind the fact that there isn't a woman in the world wanting to be a SEAL team member with its rigorous routines. Finally, women had to fit into the male by removing all common sense boundaries on living a virtuous life or marriage, using profane language, dressing like men, replacing birth control with abortion, and talking mean to men. As we look around today, how did that work out for the Democrats? Well, of course, it didn't work out well. So Democrats had to make a harmful decision to only support obedient liberal women while harassing and belittling conservative women who chose to maintain their womanhood, honor, purity, and status. This then began the first real split in identity politics. As normal, rational women wanting to maintain their higher roles in society departed from the Democrat Party. So now we have women trying to be men and men trying to be women, while liberal Democrats approve humanity suffers dramatically. It's just another example of how Democrats don't think. They do not analyze or account for end results with their ideologies. It's all about power and money. Nothing else matters. Actually, Democrats quickly turn on their own and drum them out of their political party. Then they rely on illegal and legal immigrants to replace citizens tossed out of the party. Their continued disrespect toward all is now beginning to see bigger splits in their ranks by demonizing conservative blacks unwilling to remain on the political plantations that Democrats erected for them. You see, manners don't have anything to do with race or color or sex. Manners is something we have and hold dearly for ourselves and for all. Should there be anything that allows anyone to believe it's okay to be rude and ill-mannered towards another? You see, conservatives don't see people through any filtered lens. We see people, and that alone is enough to act respectfully and with a full complement of manners. Men don't open doors for women thinking they are the lowest form of humanity, but out of respect and manners. Respect is a choice, and Democrats don't want anyone to think like that. Instead, they want us all to be victims, so government can take care of us by passing crazy laws and regulations that harm everyone. A simple thing can trigger liberal hate. Behold the MAGA hat. That's a cap emblazoned with President Trump's campaign slogan, Make America Great Again, and it's been at the center of angry confrontations. Actress and liberal activist Alyssa Milano called the MAGA hat the new white hood. Milano is a never-was-has-been who played a kid on television and remains one in real life. Matthew Sears, a professor of classics and ancient history at the University of New Brunswick, also compared the MAGA hat to a Ku Klux Klan hood or robe. In a Washington Post column, he said, wearing a MAGA hat constitutes a deliberate political act and deliberate provocation. In full disclosure, I admit I have a red MAGA hat. I seldom wear it. Not because I'm a Klan member, but because certain angry fools on the left attack people wearing the hat. Such an attack on me would result in serious harm to the assailant, and that would lead to court. I have many hats, one from Oklahoma, one from Texas. They're rivals, but one knows not to attack someone wearing the opposing school's cap. But people donning the MAGA hat have been the targets of assaults in high school classrooms, on college campuses, in restaurants, and in the public square. If and when I wear my MAGA hat, it simply means that I support making America great again. Yes, I support this president who's trying to accomplish that. But no one has a right to tell us what we can wear or not wear. A Joe Biden sign in your yard may offend my senses, but I have no right to tear it down or attack you for putting it there. That's just common sense, something that is becoming very rare in the world we live in. But radical liberals are not the only problem in America. We recently saw armed protesters marching against a state capitol, demanding the state reopen in the midst of the coronavirus. Whether you are for or against reopening our society right now, there is no right to travel in packs carrying weapons. Hot tempers flash and some fool shoots someone on the other side, and that leads to chaos. March in protest if you like. That's your right under the Constitution. But intimidating others with weapons is not your right. I have had a concealed weapon carry permit since North Carolina first made it lawful many years ago. I have a right to carry that concealed weapon with me, but I also have an obligation to use common sense when it's in my possession. A peaceful protest does not need weapons. If it is not a peaceful protest, it has no place in society. I thank you for listening today. We have hopeful news about medicine to help COVID-19 victims recover quicker and vaccines underway to end this pandemic. Like other crises, this too shall pass. I have maintained complete faith that God would impart the knowledge needed to end this misery into the minds of the medical experts in our country or other countries. And I see that coming to pass. If this latest crisis serves to remind us who is in charge, it would be a needed affirmation. Thank you again for your time and listening. I do a lot of thought and research when writing these commentaries. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, but I believe that I'm speaking in a way that will help us all. I'd be glad to hear from you. I'd particularly like to hear from our new listeners in Arizona. You can reach me at tom@tomjoyner.net. Tom@tomjoyner.net. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time and same station.